Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue to wait for word from the MTA board meeting taking place right now. There could be a vote on fare hikes coming down any time. And word from court in Lower Manhattan, where the former New York State Comptroller, Alan Hevesy, is apparently about to be arraigned on corruption charges. We are told that Hevesy will probably plead guilty. This could have political ramifications as well, as this was an Andrew Cuomo investigation, as New York State Attorney General went on for quite a while. Other people around Hevesy have previously been indicted, but just as Cuomo is talking about, is running on his ability to clean up Albany, this charge comes down. So this could have political ramifications. And as I said, we will follow the arraignment as it takes place in a Lower Manhattan courtroom. Alan Hevesy expected to be pleading guilty at any moment now. And we have opened a thread on this for your comments and thoughts at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. You can go there right now. It's freecountry.org if you want to comment with others on the Alan Hevesy expected plea. And right now we begin a four-part October series with Dante Cheney, author of a new book called Our Patchwork Nation. The book divides America into 12 community types and analyzes them in economic, political, and cultural terms. In this series, we will focus primarily on the cultural in the 12 types of American counties. And here are the 12. This will just take a second. He cites boom towns, campus and careers, emptying nests, evangelical epicenters, immigration nation, industrial metropolis, military bastions, minority central, moneyed burbs, tractor country, and service worker centers. And so, Dante, I think we'll have a very enlightening month. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, it's good to be here.
And let's just dive in with an almost random example to give the listeners a sense of what this is all about. You have a chart that compares the presence of gun stores and bookstores in all 12 types of counties. So, for example, the evangelical epicenters have the second highest ratio of gun shops per capita, about 5 gun shops per 100,000 people, but only 1 bookstore per 100,000. By contrast, the moneyed burbs have just 2 gun shops, but 6 bookshops per 100,000. I guess that's not at all surprising, but why do you make the contrast in that way?
Well, I mean, journalism, we've kind of been slow to get at these things that are just basically, you know, politicians and ad people and people who run businesses have known for a long time that if you go to a specific kind of place, a specific kind of business will flourish there. And that's really what we're getting at with this. You know, and it may not be completely shocking that the evangelical epicenters have more gun stores than other places and they have so few bookstores. But, you know, the kind of common assumptions we have about some of these different kinds of America, we generally think of as red and blue America, and I think wrongly, those things start to break down when you look at them a little closer. I mean, for instance, on that same chart, you look at these places we call tractor country. Those places are very conservative. That's rural agricultural America, and they do have a lot of gun stores. They do. They have 10 gun stores per 100,000 people. But, you know, that's not because they're worried about, you know, black helicopters landing in their backyard. Well, maybe they are. But they're also interested in hunting. And you know, look, when you live out in the country, hunting's something you want to do. So that kind of makes sense. But the bookstores they have there, they have more bookstores than you might imagine. They have about 4 bookstores per 100,000 people. That's higher than a lot of community types, including, you know, the evangelical epicenters. It's more than twice as many. So, it's a different kind of place.
So I think people might be able to conjure up in their minds where tractor country is. Where are the evangelical epicenters? What are some of those communities specifically?
Well, they tend to be, as you might imagine, primarily based in the Southeast, but they are scattered around. There are evangelical epicenters, or at least one. I think there are 2 in my home state of Michigan. They tend to be places that are somewhat rural, maybe, you know, the edge of the exurbs in some places. And the thing that really makes them stand out is obviously a high number of evangelical adherents. And that does something to, that's what we're getting at in the book, that really does something to their culture, what the places really feel like. And again, primarily in the Southeast, but you see them scattered around states as well. I'm in Indiana right now to do some reporting. And two counties, I'm in Bloomington right now, which is home of Indiana University. It's a very campus and careers, very collegiate environment. Yeah. You drive 60 miles and you're in Jackson County, and it's evangelical epicenter. It's a very different feel.
Do you mean to say that people in evangelical communities don't read?
I'm not saying that. But I am saying that what we're saying with the numbers is the numbers just speak for themselves. I mean, this is what the numbers are. You can take from it what you want. I do think one thing it means is, you know, you have a certain number of retail square footage in where you live, and you want, as a community, you're voting with your dollars about what you want there. And given a choice between having a gun store and a bookstore, a lot of those evangelical epicenters would rather have a gun store. Now, they would say maybe that, well, sure, but I'd rather just go buy my books at Amazon. And that's what I do. And there may be some truth to that, but there's something about a bookstore. It adds something to a community. It is a cultural center for that place, and those evangelical epicenters aren't as interested in it. In fact, the evangelical epicenter that I visit, because I visited real places that mm-hmm. correspond with all these types.
And I should mention that the book seems to document every county in America. Your appendix of a list of county by county is dozens of pages long.
Yeah, and we try to place every county into a type, and some counties obviously fit better than others. But when I went and visited these places, they really are stark representations of these things. And Nixon, Missouri, outside of Springfield, does not have a library. It just doesn't want to have one. It's decided that that's not how it wants to spend its money. You know, meanwhile, you go to Sioux Center, Iowa, which is a very small, rural kind of agricultural community. It's a tractor country community. When their library burned down, they built this absolutely beautiful, you know, prairie-style Frank Lloyd Wright library. It looks like it belongs in a city that should be like three times its size. And it's because in that community, they place more emphasis on having that cultural center there. It's a definitely a different kind of feel.
Where, if you can tell me off the top of your head, is the closest evangelical epicenter county to New York?
To New York. That's a good question. If you tell you what, give me some time on this
call.
Next
week,
by the end of this call, I'll have an answer for you.
Dante Cheney, my guest on WNYC, and he's coming on every Thursday this month to talk about different aspects of his book, Our Patchwork Nation, which divides America into 12 community types by county and analyzes them in economic, political, and cultural terms. So you get, okay, if you have it by the end of the segment in 5 minutes, that's great. Otherwise, you get to bring it with you next Thursday. Okay.
Very good, very good.
Another interesting thing. You point to two major trends in shopping and communication that I would think would tie Americans together, but you say they do not. One is the homogenization of brick-and-mortar stores. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go in the U.S., you see largely the same chain stores and restaurants. And the Wi-Fiable communications network, where even people in the most isolated and rural parts of the country, even in a county that decides not to have a library, they can get connected to anything and anyone and any information online. And yet you conclude that the U.S. today is more culturally divided than ever. Why?
Yeah, I mean, what we're getting at with that is it's really interesting. When you think about the way the country works, you would think that all these technological advances have pushed us closer together. That's how we start the beginning of the chapter on culture. We talk about how the advent of the internet led people to believe that place isn't going to matter anymore. Every place is going to be the same. But what the internet has really provided, and this kind of mass communication, the technology boom that we've had, what it's provided is really more channels, right? So instead of being able to watch ABC, NBC, and CBS, that was all what we all had to watch in the beginning, and then cable came along, and we could start watching different things, and then the internet came along, and you could multiply what we had on cable times 1,000, 2,000. And what that really means is more niches are available. So you think, well, sure, but that means every person can tune to their personal channel, and that's what they're going to watch. You know, yes and no, because ultimately communities share bonds. I mean, there are things that make these places similar. And, you know, if I live in a tractor country community, I'm going to be very concerned with, you know, the price of soybeans maybe or the price of corn. And if I live in an evangelical epicenter, just because faith is such a big part of that community, my community is going to feel different than it does. And because it feels different, we're going to focus on different kinds of things. I mean, that's just the nature of having these different kinds of place.
And you think that's more prevalent, those divisions in America today, than 50 years ago, 100 years ago?
Well, I mean, you can argue that before we had a mass media culture, maybe, America was more like this. But we went through a period, you know, really starting with the advent of TV and kind of radio networks and things, where we were all watching the same thing. I mean, just because we had to. I mean, you were going to watch, you know, you either watched Uncle Milt or you turned the TV off. you know, now you don't do that. Now, you know, if you're, you know, it's a really interesting, I go to these places and I have the crappy breakfast in the hotel lobby in the morning, and you can do a really interesting study just by what's playing on the TV. Mm-hmm. You know, you go down to some places and they're watching Fox News, and you go to other places and it's MSNBC, and you go to other places it's CNN. That's just three channels. Think about that, and then think about where they go on the web. I mean, it's kind of a self-reinforcing. The choices we have available to us are self-reinforcing. I mean, people who live in certain kinds of communities share certain kinds of values, and they watch all now certain kinds of media and listen and read certain kinds of media. That creates the cultural distinctions actually grow wider. You know, a broader spectrum of entertainment choices and news choices actually means that people are able to narrowcast, the communities are able to narrowcast themselves much more easily.
Just to put a local spin on this briefly, because we have a minute left, and yep. We will drill down on the local analysis of this much more deeply in coming weeks. But are all five boroughs of New York the same as each other in your 12 types of county paradigm?
They are, except I think for Staten Island. Mm-hmm. Staten Island does actually register as it registers as something else. But, you know, and it's largely because New York is truly a unique environment. It's so dense. I mean, even outside of Manhattan, I know in Manhattan everybody thinks, oh, Brooklyn and Queens, those are really spread out. They're incredibly dense compared to most of America. And because of that, they fall into this industrial metropolis category. Those are big, diverse, dense places full of different kinds of people. And they're very interesting. It's the kind of place where you really have, you know, different kinds of people bumping into each other. It makes for a really kind of exciting environment. Staten Island actually registers in what we have is an immigration nation, mm-hmm. and that's obviously because of changes that have kind of come over that place in the last decade,
right.
The type of people that are moving there. It's right. A very different place now.
All right. We are just beginning, and this conversation was interesting, so I'm sure it's going to be interesting over the next three Thursdays when we do this series with Dante Cheney, author now of Our Patchwork Nation. Dante, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Brian. By the way, Hardy County, West Virginia. That's your nearest evangelical epicenter.
Wow, that's far. All right, talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.